Hey, this is Brian Zond, and I'm glad that you're interested in the podcast. You know, it's a free podcast, and it'll always be that way. But if you would like to give and help us out, that would be awesome, deeply appreciated. If you want to do that, you can do that through the Word of Life website or through the Word of Life mobile app. Anyway, God bless you. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Father, we now gather around the Scriptures, the stories of Christ. We ask that they would form us into people of mercy, that we might carry mercy into our broken world. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm continuing this series we're doing during the summer, Stories of Redemption. It's story time. Got two more stories, one today, one next Sunday, and then we'll be into Finding God on your iPod. We actually start the last day of July. Sunday, July 31st will be the beginning of Finding God on your iPod, and it'll go all the way through August. But today we have a story. And I'm going to start with a text, Luke 19:7. But the people were displeased and grumbled. Jesus has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner. My story today is entitled The Life of a Great Sinner. This was the title, it was to be the title anyway, of Fyodor Dostoevsky's sequel to his great work, The Brothers Karamazov. He always intended to have a sequel. In fact, The Brothers Karamazov was, he said, simply to set up this final novel, The Life of a Great Sinner. Unfortunately, it was never written. Dostoevsky died before he could write that novel. So I'm just going to use the title. Since he never got around to using it, I'll use it for the sermon title today. Now, it's the story of Zacchaeus. You know the story of Zacchaeus, that short tax collector who climbed a tree to see Jesus. And if you don't know it from Luke 19, you know it perhaps from Sunday school. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. So he climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. How many of you grew up singing that song? Yeah, a lot of you. Well, I think describing Zacchaeus as a wee little man is actually quite misleading. I think it's better to think in terms of Sammy the Bull Gravano, an underboss in the Cambino crime family. Now, Sammy the Bull isn't very tall. He's only 5'5", but you wouldn't call him a wee little man. That would not capture the essence of Sammy the Bull Gravano. That's more like what Zacchaeus was. In other words, Zacchaeus was more like a mafia boss than a petty little pencil-necked bureaucrat. Because Rome didn't need wee little men, wee little bureaucrats to collect their taxes. What Rome needed was muscle. And that's what tax collectors were like. And Zacchaeus, you'll remember, was a chief tax collector. That is, he was in charge of an entire district with other tax collectors working under him. Well, let's examine how this worked. What they did was tax collectors would bid contracts. They would get a consignment from the Roman Empire. Based upon their bid, they would say, I can collect this much revenue from this district, and the highest bidder got the contract. Well, how did you get? I mean, once you had bid and said, okay, I can bring in this much money for the Roman Empire, then you had to go collect it. How did you collect it? Well, let's just say the person that won the contract was the person who could put the most pressure on people. So the tax collectors were not only collecting tax revenue, they were also practicing extortion. It was kind of a combination of tax revenue and protection racket. So tax collectors are not like modern IRS agents. They are more like mafia figures. Tax collectors practiced extortion. And not only were they collecting taxes through extortion, they were doing it on behalf of the hated Roman occupiers. And you can see why they were so odious to so many people. Tax collectors were sinners. They were great sinners. Now, we know the story of Zacchaeus from the day that he climbed the tree and met Jesus. But I don't want to start there. I want to instead begin with my own admittedly imaginative story of Zacchaeus before he climbed the tree. The life of a great sinner. The little baby was given the name Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus. It means pure and innocent. They named the little baby Zacchaeus. Pure and innocent. But Zacchaeus could not stay pure. He could not remain innocent. Zacchaeus was born in Jericho in the 17th year of the reign of King Herod. He was born into a poor family, a family of day laborers working as farmhands for some of the wealthier farmers in and around Jericho. Zacchaeus grew up in the synagogue. His family was devout. They were observant Jews. And young Zacchaeus grew up going to the synagogue, and he loved the synagogue. He liked the community, the ritual, the prayers, and he especially loved the Bible stories. Little Zacchaeus liked the Bible stories. His favorites were Noah and the Ark, David and Goliath, Elijah and the prophets of Baal. He liked these stories. When Zacchaeus was a teenager, he got a job harvesting dates for one of the farmers. I don't know if you've seen how they harvest dates, but you have to climb a tree to do it. And Zacchaeus got pretty good at that. He could just shimmy up those trees. It was hard work, but he could do it, and he was good at it. He could climb the trees faster and better than anyone else and harvest the most dates, but still it only earned him pennies. So as I said, Zacchaeus grew up in a poor, day-laboring family. Zacchaeus harvested dates climbing those trees. And because he was poor, he was never dressed very well. And because he was never dressed very well, that made him the target for some of the local bullies. But Zacchaeus fought back. And he learned that he could fight pretty good, in fact. Zacchaeus wasn't very tall, but he was stocky. And he's strong as a bull. And that's when he got his nickname, Zac the Bull. That's what they called him. And the bullies learned soon enough to leave him alone because he could stand up for himself and he would let his fist do his talking. When Zac the Bull was 17, one of the local tax collectors came to him and said, Hey, how would you like a job? Zac the Bull said, I got a job. I harvest dates, climb those trees. The tax collector said, how would you like a job that pays more money? Zac said, I'm listening. What do I have to do? You don't have to do really much at all. Just come with me. I'm making the rounds. I'm collecting, we'll say. I think just your presence will probably be enough, but if some people need some persuading, I suppose you could do that. He thought about it for a moment and decided he would at least try it. And what he found out was, working for the tax collector, he could make more money in a couple of hours than he could all week climbing those date trees. And so Zac the Bull started working for one of the tax collectors in Jericho. And he was good at this. And in fact, by the time he was 21... the tax collector had put him in charge of all the south side of Jericho, collecting the taxes. He was doing it on his own now. He was good at it. Of course, collecting taxes meant that he began to engage with the local Roman soldiers, the officers and the soldiers that were stationed there in the important city of Jericho. And Zach found that he got along with them all right. He knew they were supposed to be the enemy and all, but he was also working for them, at least indirectly, and he got to know some of them. He came to realize, you know, they're not that much different than I am. These are young men. They have to make their way in the world. I have to make my way in the world. Our paths cross. We might as well get along. And they did, and Zach even became pretty proficient in Greek and picked up some Latin too. And he could talk to these soldiers and got along with them pretty good. Zach the bull still went to synagogue every Sabbath. He loved the prayers. And like I said, he especially loved those Bible stories. He went to Jerusalem 3 times a year for Passover, Shavuot, and Sukkot, the 3 big feasts. He kept kosher. He had his tallits, his prayer shawl, and he would pray the prayers in the synagogue every Sabbath. But when he was 25 years old, this would be what we call the year 5 AD. Simon came to his house. Now, Simon was the president of the synagogue that Zach the Bull attended there in Jericho. And Simon belonged to the Pharisee party. This was a religious, political party that were trying to take back Israel for God and enforce moral purity. And Simon came to Zach the Bull's house, and he had 2 of the elders from the synagogue with him. They were also Pharisees. And Simon didn't seem very friendly. He didn't even offer to shake Zach's hand, and he just said, "Well, I'm here to inform you that we have made a decision." Zach said, "Well, what's that?" "Well, you are now formally excluded from our synagogue." And he said, "Why?" "Well, you know why. You collect taxes for the Romans. And we've seen how you fraternize with those Gentiles, those Roman soldiers. We've seen you laughing with them in the tea stalls." Zach said, "Well, it's my job. You know, I have my job, they have theirs. We get along." Simon the Pharisee, the president of the synagogue, said, "You are unclean, and you are no longer welcome in our house of worship." That night, Zach the bull tore his tallits in two. And from then on, Zach lived the life of a great sinner. He became much more violent, much more aggressive toward people, especially some of the more observant Jews in Jericho. He drank a lot. He hung out with petty thieves, prostitutes, and other disreputable sorts. If you had asked Zach at that time, "Do you believe in God?" he would have said, "Sure." If you'd asked him, "Do you love God?" he would have said, "Why should I? He doesn't love me." Zach's great love became money. So he just began to outbid all of the other tax collectors. He got all of the contracts, and he became the chief tax collector for the Jericho district of the province of Judea. And what this meant was that by the time he was 40, he was rich. I want to say the richest man in Jericho. He wasn't, because, you know, he wasn't as rich as the Herodians. But other than someone connected directly with the royal family, he was the richest man in town. He built a Roman-style villa. It had 20 rooms. Had a colonnaded courtyard with a garden in the center and a fountain. Even had a pool. And he had a well-stocked wine cellar. He'd learned to appreciate fine Italian wines from the Roman officers. And he began to import those from Italy. Zach the bull through lavish parties. Now, the respectable Jews in Jericho were never his guests, but the excluded, the outsiders, the other disreputable sorts, they were often found in great numbers in Zach the Bull's villa. Tax collectors, prostitutes, drunkards, even some of the Roman army officers. And he had quite a reputation for being able to throw great parties. Then there was that night. Early in the year, that was the 16th year of the reign of the Emperor Tiberius. We call that AD 30. Zach the Bull was 50 years old. And he'd had one of the big parties, and it was late at night, and most of the revelers had gone, but there was a few prostitutes still there, and Zach was drinking with a Roman military officer by the name of Maximus. And they were both pretty well lit, drinking together. When Zach said to Max, "Man, you've been all over the world. What's the craziest thing you've ever seen?" And Max told a couple of bawdy tales from the time when he was stationed in Corinth. But then he became pensive and had a serious look and he said, "But that's not the craziest thing I've ever seen. The craziest thing I've ever seen was just last year. It's when I was stationed in Capernaum working for the centurion there." And that centurion in Capernaum, he had a slave, a boy, that had become just like a son. He didn't have any sons of his own, our commanding officer. And he just loved that slave boy like a son. It was his son, really. That's what it was like to him. And that boy got sick. And it looked like for sure he was going to die. He wasn't moving anymore. He was barely breathing. I mean, he was dying. And my CO, he was just so upset. He was weeping inconsolably. And he started talking about this healer, this guy called Jesus of Nazareth, who was now sometimes in Capernaum. Sometimes he lived there. And when the boy was just, it looked like he was just moments from dying, suddenly he leaped up and he said, "Let's go find Jesus." And he took me with him. And we found him. He was in the house that he sometimes stayed in with some fishermen. And I'd never seen my centurion act like this, but when he found Jesus, he just fell to his knees and he said, "Please, please, please, I know you can. Spare the life of my servant. He's like a son to me. Please heal him." And this Jesus of Nazareth guy said, "Yeah, okay, let's go." And he started to walk out the door and the centurion just grabbed him and says, "No. I'm not worthy for you to come into my house. You don't need to do that. I know you have authority. I know about authority. I'm a soldier. I'm a centurion. And if I say to Maximus, 'Here, go,' he goes. If I say Maximus comes, he comes. If you will just say the word, I know that my servant's son will be healed." And Jesus of Nazareth just smiled at my centurion and said, "Be to it as you have believed." And when we went back home, he was completely healed. It was like nothing had ever been wrong with him. He was sitting up, eating, laughing, talking. Everything was fine. That night, every person that was sick in Capernaum came to that fisherman's house where Jesus was staying, and Jesus healed every single sick person in town. I saw it with my own eyes. I even saw a blind man healed. Swear to God, saw it. That, Zach, was the craziest thing I've ever seen. 6 months later, early one morning, after another night of revelry, Zach the Bull was awakened in his villa by the sound of a lot of commotion out in the streets, and he went out and he asked what was going on because there were crowds of people out in the streets. He said, "Hey, what's going on?" And somebody said, "You don't know?" He said, "I don't know. Jesus of Nazareth is coming to Jericho." And Zachary, "That's that guy that Maximus told me about, that healer." And Zach got it in his head he wanted to see this guy. But he was like the last person showing up and they were all lying in the streets and he couldn't see because he isn't very tall. Now, Zach the Bull could have just thrown people out of his way, but he just thought that wasn't really the right thing to do to see a holy man. And then he remembered his tree-climbing days of his youth. Now, he hadn't climbed a tree since he was 17, but he knew he could still do it. It wasn't as hard as climbing those date palms. It was just a sycamore tree there, so I can climb that tree. And so Zach the Bull, for the first time since he was 17, climbed a tree. Now, he knew, he was aware that he looked a bit ridiculous doing it, but he did it anyway because he wanted to see this miracle worker, this Jesus fella. And he no sooner got up there perched in that tree than there he came. There he came. He had his disciples with him, and people were shouting and wanting to touch him and asking for healings. It was a lot of commotion. And then, right when they got to the tree, Simon the Pharisee, still the president of the synagogue, he's an old man now, he's in his 70s, he came and he was there to formally welcome Rabbi Jesus to their town. And he began to tell Jesus how he had prepared a meal in his home and that he just wanted Jesus to be assured that everything was scrupulously kosher, that there would not be a more kosher home in Jericho than his home, and he was inviting Jesus to come to his home. And Jesus seemed to kind of ignore him, as if he didn't really hear him. And then suddenly, Jesus just looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, come down. I want to have dinner at your house." Whoa. And Zacchaeus climbed down, but oh, you should have seen. Simon the Pharisee just turned deep red, so embarrassed and so angry. And Simon the Pharisee and all the good little synagogue goers, they started grumbling. "He's going to go to the house of a great sinner." Well, Zacchaeus was very happy. He was happy to have Jesus coming, but let's be honest, he was equally happy that it was upsetting Simon. He liked that part of it. Well, I'll tell you what, if Jesus was looking for a good meal, he made a great pick. Because Zacchaeus knew how to collect taxes, and he knew how to throw a party. And he put on one of the greatest feasts of his life that night. Of course, Zacchaeus had invited his friends, and they were, you know, all these people that had been thrown out of the synagogue. Petty thieves, other tax collectors, prostitutes, that kind of crowd. And they were there, and then Jesus had his 12 disciples there. So it was a big, the dining hall was filled, and it was the finest food. And Zach the Bull brought out some of his finest wine. Now, among Jesus' disciples, there was also a former tax collector, a guy named Matthew. And he was tasting some of that Italian wine. He had tasted some Italian wines back in the day when he was collecting taxes and hanging out with Romans too. And Matthew commented, he said, "Man, this is the finest wine I've had since, well, I guess Cana. This is the finest wine I've had in a long time." And it's funny, Zach the Bull, when he recalled that evening that he had the meal with Jesus, he never really could remember what they talked about. He was seated right next to Jesus, and he knows they talked, but he couldn't remember what they talked about. He couldn't remember anything that Jesus said. He just remembered thinking that Jesus didn't seem near as religious as he thought he would, that he laughed easy, and he seemed very warm and kind, and that Zach was surprised at how comfortable, how welcome he felt sitting with Jesus. And that's when something happened. The love for God that had been extinguished 25 years ago on the night that he was thrown out of the synagogue and he tore his talits in two, reawakened. His love for God reawakened. And without her even really thinking about it, he just stood up, rapped on his wine glass, and said, "I have an announcement to make. I'm going to give half of my wealth to the poor of Jericho. And if I have defrauded anyone, I will immediately make a fourfold restitution. Jesus smiled, looked at Zacchaeus and said, "Today, salvation has come to this house." Today, salvation has come to this house. Yes, salvation has come to this house because salvation is a person. Jesus has come to this house. It's in the radical hospitality of Jesus that we find our salvation. When we find that Jesus is willing to sit with even the great sinners, that's when salvation comes. So Jesus said, "Today salvation has come to this house." And then he gestures to Zach the bull and says, "For this man too is a son of Abraham." So Zacchaeus, the one the Pharisees rejected 25 years earlier, had been accepted at the table of salvation by Jesus. And like Ebenezer Scrooge from another story, Zach the bull was true to his word. He did what he promised and infinitely more. He was the best friend the poor of Jericho ever knew, for salvation had come to his house. Amen. Stand with me.